In Israel, on October 7, was a boy with the name Adir Mesika, 23-year-old man, boy. If he finished the army, then he went on a trip. You know, the Israelis go on Far East, whatever they go. And he came back and he started to work with his father in his father's business. Father was a jeweler in diamond. And then he and his girlfriend went to on October 7 to the party, to the Nova party. And another couple, another friend of him with his girlfriend, and they were hiding in a shelter, and they came out to fight the terrorists. They were killed and they saved the girls. Can you imagine? The family was completely devastated. His father, he was the oldest. Adir was the oldest of four boys. Mm-hmm. They used to live in New York, and they decided they're coming to Israel because they want to raise the kids in Israel, in a Jewish state. And here, they lost the oldest son, 23-year-old. He was the oldest son in every sense of the world. And then he was sitting in his office like a month after his son was killed. And he saw somebody sent him a video. And the video was of a wedding that took place in the army base. You know, all the soldiers were called in for the war. Many of them had scheduled weddings. They had to cancel everything. One guy called his parents. He said, "I'm not giving up on getting married. I'll do the chuppah, then we'll do the wedding. I want to bring up to the morale in the base is very low. We need to bring this up. We need to elevate it a little bit." His parents said, "Okay." The moment that people heard that he's going to make a wedding in the army base, mm-hmm. everything was donated. The catering was donated. The best, the singers showed up, the band. It was like unbelievable. Everybody mobilized, everybody volunteered, and they put together a wedding. And it was very few women there because not only the family, basically it was soldiers. The soldiers were dancing and singing. In the middle of the wedding, the groom was called to the north. He had to go to the army, go to his base. And the soldiers continued to dance until it was a siren. And then they eyed it, and then they came back to dance. It was unbelievable. Then somebody sent around this video from the wedding. He watches the video, and then he says to his son, "You know, I want to donate a diamond ring to a soldier who just took off a day from the army. You know, he gets like little breaks. And he wants to propose to his girlfriend. I want to do it." His son tells him, "Dad, you know, it's expensive." He says, "Yeah, but don't make me feel good." Mm-hmm. He says, "Then do it, go for it." He goes on Facebook and he writes, I want to donate to one boy who wants to propose today, a soldier who is in the army, who is serving. He wants to propose, I'll give him a diamond ring." Within 4 hours, somebody showed up. You know, the whole family, the whole office worked on it, you know, to put the ring, to put the stone, to put together the whole thing. And he gave it to him. And he went to his girlfriend and proposed, and he shows them pictures how they're hugging, and he proposed the whole thing. The father is named Alon Mesika. Alon got all teared up and excited, And at the same time, as he's getting excited about that, another guy calls him. He says, I also need a diamond. He says, "Listen, we only said I had one. I wanted to donate one. But I need it. Please help me this." He says, "You know what? Come." He decided to give him also. Then the first guy showed up at night with his bride, with his girlfriend who just got engaged, with the two sets of the parents. And they were all saying L'chaim and dancing and crying and hugging. It was unbelievable. Then this gave him so much satisfaction and so much excitement, they decided to go more. And he sent out an email. He has his business. He's in a diamond center in Israel, in Ramat Gan. It's called the Bursa. A huge diamond center. Many skyscrapers and big buildings. It's a lot. And he sent out the email address, sent to everybody, "Whoever wants to help me, I'm donating diamond rings to soldiers who just They have a break from the service. Woman's helping. People started to come in. This guy, he brings a diamond. The other guy gives a ring. These people bring a complete diamond ring. He gave already until now at least 85 diamonds. From November until now. Mm-hmm. For soldiers. And what is he saying? He says, my son did not have a chance to establish a Jewish home. I want somebody else to establish a Jewish home in his memory. And this is really an amazing gift because the girl who is going to wear this diamond, we will always remember this Adir Mesika, that because of him she got the diamond ring. It's really an amazing thing. And people, and he says every time that gives them the strength to survive the day, it has given so much joy, so much satisfaction. He says, somebody also build a Jewish home. He says, they want to destroy us. I will do my part in establishing Jewish home to continue to build the Jewish people. Now, there is so many types of charities, and Rabbanan Tirz have been going on in Israel, in the Jewish world, since October 7th. They say that there is $1.5 billion donated to Israel by diaspora Jews. It's really unbelievable. But this is a charity that is very unique. You know, there is the only nation, the only society who has a charity to help couples to get married is in the Jewish people. It doesn't exist by any other nation. There is, you know, in the regular society, give me money, I want to get married. Go to work. If not, go to the judge, go to the city, I'll get married and move on. Well, what is this? I have to sponsor your wedding? Are you crazy? In the Jewish people, there is something that's called achnasat kala. Achnasat kala means to entering a bride to the chuppah. And this is considered the most important charity in Judaism. This is number one. Not just it's a charity, it's number one charity. Because in Judaism, we look at it, if the Jewish people, if there is no families, then there is no future for the Jewish people. You know, there was some rabbi said that while the Egyptian built pyramids and the Roman built mausoleums and other buildings, the Jewish people were building families. One more family, one more family. That's how the Jewish people is going on from strength to strength to strength. One of the proofs, you know, there is a whole discussion, dialogue, if Columbus was Jewish. Mm-hmm. One of the proofs that he was a Jew is that he left in his will they should give some of his money to a fund of marriage, who helps to marry off couples. And such a thing doesn't exist in any other society. It's really in Cleveland. There is now a whole thing. What they do is a new thing. For example, in Chicago, they took a big warehouse. They made it a beautiful hall to rich families, to rich people. And they made it that if you want to do a wedding there, they made deals with caterings, with caterers, with flowers, with bands and photographers, everything. You can get that package for a very small price. Mm-hmm. Let's say they tell you, we give you 200 people, 200 guests, and you can come and you can marry your future child for this. And this exists in Muncie, it exists in New York, in Williamsburg, does it exist in, even in Cleveland, there is something like this, not to this extent. Mm-hmm. In Israel, in many places, it's all about helping people to marry over the children, especially in the religious community. You have say, 6, 7, 8, 10 children. Even if you break a bank, it's not enough. Right. I mean, but this idea is, you know, we just celebrated a Passover, the Exodus. When Pharaoh came out with the decree to kill the Jewish babies, to throw them into the river, Amram was Moses' father. At that time, Moses was not born. Amram was the leader of the Jewish people. He wanted to make a demonstration, so to speak, even against God, so to speak. He says, he divorced his wife. Have babies to be thrown into the river? What do we care? What is this? The rest of the Jewish people follow suit. Every man. Why not? then he told them, then his daughter came to him and told them, his daughter Miriam. Miriam was the oldest daughter of the family. There was Miriam, Aaron, then Moses. Miriam was 5 years old. Moses was not born yet. But she told her father, Amram, she told them, you are worse than Pharaoh. I asked her why. Says, Pharaoh just decreed that the boys should not be born, be killed. You, if nobody will be born, will be not boys and not girls. Pharaoh can be killed tomorrow, can die. Who knows what will happen to him? You, if people are getting divorced, to come together is a whole new operation. And then she told them, I have a prophecy, I have a feeling. I don't know if she knew by the age of 5 that's a prophecy. Then mom will give birth to the Redeemer of the Jewish people. When he heard this, he remarried his wife, Yocheved, and lo and behold, Moses was born. And he was saved by the river, by the Nile, and the whole story, right? It's all because having children, getting married is the most important institution in Judaism. But what's more is interesting is, then what I need to say is, I don't know why this man is so lucky to have this type of charity. You know, many people give much more money. There is, if a billionaire was donated, you can imagine how much money was given. But he gives something, he motivates. You know, many times I ask young men, you have a girlfriend, 2 years, 3 years. I say, why are you not getting engaged? I'm still working on my diamond. I don't have enough money. I don't ask my parents, or the parents don't have money, whatever. So many times I hear this excuse. Maybe it's also an excuse too. But you know what? When you hear, when a soldier who is in the army hears that he has a free diamond ring, that's a big motivation. And you don't know for how long this business is going to continue. So I'll take it now or never. I better propose, and then they send them pictures, and they come to visit them. But this reminded me of a Hasidic story. There's a story about a Hasid from the fifth Chabad Rebbe. His name was the Rebbe Rashab. It's an acronym for the word Shalom Dov Ber. My son Sholem is named after him. Mm-hmm. And he had a Hasid, was a big diamond merchant. Once he came into Israel to the Rebbe, and he told him, you know, I see, Rebbe, you're giving attention to people. I don't think they're so special. Why are you wasting your time on these people? Kind of, I have a way of saying that he's more important and why he doesn't get enough attention. I don't know what was behind it. He says, you know, they're simple guys. The Rebbe's time is so limited. The Rebbe told him, tell me, you're a diamond, right? You have some diamonds, maybe. Can you? He says, yeah, he takes out from his, no. The diamond merchants go on with small envelopes with the diamonds inside, puts on the table. He start to give the Rebbe a demonstration, a lecture. This diamond is a half a carat, and this is a full, and this is this, and this is yellow, and this is red, and this was clean, and this is not clean. This is a big diamond, this is a small diamond, but a whole explanation of the different diamonds. The Rebbe looks at them, looks, and then he says, you know, and he let them talk. And the fish tells him, no, I don't see a difference. To me, there are a bunch of stones. Tells him, I, Rebbe, on diamonds, you have to be a maven. You have to understand what a diamond. The Rebbe looked up, he lifted up his eyes and tells him, on people, on souls, you have to be a maven. You think you're a maven? You think you think this guy is not so important? When it comes to souls, I'm the professional. I'm the merchant. That what we can do is to people is, you know, it's like, and we see every person is like a diamond. And really, every person gives a unique thing to, a unique contribution to the world. That's why God created them. It's only when we can meet another person, we can make him feel like a diamond.